It's now time for Trivia Tracks with yours truly, Price Robertson. Here are some interesting facts about three Texas Honky Tonk legends: Johnny Bush, Jerry Jeff Walker, and Billy Joe Shaver, all of whom passed away within a span of 3 weeks in October 2020. John Bush Shen III received his stage name when someone mistakenly introduced him as Johnny Bush. In the late 70s, Bush's drug problem took a turn for the worse when doctors diagnosed him with spasmodic dysphonia, a disorder that generates a person's voice to go through periods of spasm. By the mid-80s, Bush regained 70% of his original voice and was performing again. He went on to become an advocate for people affected by vocal disorders. Jerry Jeff Walker, real name Ron Crosby, first performed under the name Jerry Ferris, then Jeff Walker, before amalgamating them into Jerry Jeff Walker, which he legally changed his name to in the late 60s. In his youth, Billy Joe Shaver lost two fingers in a sawmill accident. Jerry Jeff Walker named his son Django after jazz guitar legend Django Reinhardt. Billy Joe Shaver once served as spiritual advisor to singer-songwriter and satirist Kinky Friedman. Jerry Jeff Walker said he was inspired to write Mr. Bojangles after an encounter with a street performer in a New Orleans jail. Johnny Bush and Willie Nelson, who most famously recorded his own version of Bush's Whiskey River, were once members of Ray Price's Cherokee Cowboys. Jerry Jeff Walker had an annual birthday celebration at the Paramount Theater in Austin and at Gruen Hall in Gruen, Texas. Comedian Norm MacDonald is an avid Billy Joe Shaver fan and has occasionally praised his songwriting on his podcast. By the early 1950s, the Three Stooges, then comprising of Mo Howard, Larry Fine, and Shemp Howard, were still churning out two-reel short comedies for Columbia Pictures. We have to thank Jules White, who founded Columbia Shorts Department in 1933, for forging the Stooges' firebrand style of slapstick. White produced and directed 100 of the 190 Three Stooges shorts, but it was around 1950 that a power struggle was beginning to break out between Jules White and producer Hugh McCollum, who by this time was responsible for roughly half of the Stooges shorts. According to Michael Fleming, in his 1999 book The Three Stooges, An Illustrated History, all of the Stooges had problems with White's tough guy style, which left them little room for collaboration. As time went on, there was increasing tension between White and McCollum. It was Shemp Howard who liked working with director Edward Burns best. Burns was a mainstay of McCollum's unit. The White-McCollum feud led to a turf battle that ended with this. Jules White didn't think it was necessary to run two different short subject units any longer, so Hugh McCollum was forced out, and Ed Burns resigned out of loyalty to his friend McCollum. This change led Jules White to produce and direct Columbia's two-reel comedies, including the Stooges shorts alone, a phase that lasted until Columbia Pictures shut down its short subjects department toward the end of 1957. This often fondly remembered tough guy in wrestling, well, if you call him a tough guy, was one of those polarizing figures in the industry. Bob Sweetan was nicknamed Bruiser and Mr. Piledriver, the latter in reference to his finishing maneuver. He also wrestled as K.O. Cox, not to be confused with Killer Carl Cox. He was born Robert Beyer in Good Soil, Saskatchewan in 1940. He played briefly with the Canadian Football League's Toronto Argonauts, then settled in Calgary, Alberta, home of Stu Hart's Stampede Wrestling. Beyer was introduced to pro wrestling by Gerd Topsnick, a door-to-door cookware salesman who wrestled part-time for Hart. It is unclear when Robert Beyer changed his legal surname to Carson. As Bob Sweetan, he held numerous titles over his career. He enjoyed some success with the NWA and wrestled with Freddie Prosser, who went under the name Freddie Sweetan in Canada for Stampede Wrestling. Bob Sweetan and Terry Gibbs defeated the Fabulous Freebirds for the NWA Central States Tag Team Championship. He also wrestled for the WWC in Puerto Rico. Sweetan was known for causing riots in arenas due to his heel antics. Aside from his antics in the ring, Bob Sweetan was hated by most, if not all, of his peers. Jim Ross has called him a miserable human being, and more recently recalled how Danny Hodge once tortured Sweetan as payback for being out of line. While Hacksaw Jim Duggan, in his 2012 autobiography, referred to Sweetan as a bully and a real piece of garbage. Among other criticisms, Leo Burke called him easy to work with, but kind of lazy, while Ed Colonel DeBeers Wiskowski accused Sweetan of being a locker room thief. Following his pro wrestling career, Sweetan worked as an air conditioning maintenance supervisor. In 1990, he was convicted of sexually assaulting his daughter Candace. He also faced a separate charge of non-payment of child support. Sweetan stopped checking in with police in 2000, after which he was located and deported back to his native Canada. He died in 2017 at the age of 76. In the 1980s, Jim Varney made all America laugh as the befuddled Ernest P. Worrell in TV commercials for different advertisers, both local and national. In 1987, Ernest made it to the movies with Ernest Goes to Camp. The success of the film made way for Ernest Saves Christmas in 1989, plus several more that followed. In 1990, seven Ernest films were reported to be in development. Coke Sam's, who with business partner John Cherry handled the Ernest films, said in 2011 that Ernest spaced out may have gotten as far as a film treatment. Sam said about the film, "I believe that was kind of a Lost in Space epic. It seems like there were astronauts and maybe a space capsule." Soon after the release of Ernest Goes to Camp, several more films were being contemplated, one being Ernest in the Army, which went on to be the last Ernest film made. Others considered were Ernest the Bellhop and Ernest in Paradise. According to Coke Sam's, a script had been written for Ernest and the Voodoo Curse. Sam saw the film as a cross between Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein and Raiders of the Lost Ark, complete with voodoo, a high priest, zombies, Ernest masquerading as a zombie, and a woman with one blue eye and one brown eye. By 2003, Jim Varney's biography page via Internet Movie Database stated that he had died before he could finish filming a 10th Ernest film, titled Ernest the Pirate, which had been stated to be scheduled for release in 2000. In November 2011, Coke Sam said the film never existed. Varney had actually been in consideration for a role in the 1999 film Pirates of the Plain. Think of it. If Ernest the Pirate had actually been a 10th Ernest film, had Jim Varney lived, it would have spawned even more entries. Know what I mean? Every Monday in the last week of May is an observance of those who served and sacrificed for our country. Memorial Day is a memorial to those who gave their lives while fighting in a war involving the U.S. The holiday had its beginnings in 1868 as Decoration Day, established by a group of ex-Union soldiers in the Civil War. The goal was to decorate Civil War veterans' graves with flowers. Later on, the Confederate tradition would merge with the Union tradition, followed by subsequent other wars in the years to come. It wasn't until 1882 that the term Memorial Day would be used for the very first time. Earlier observances took place even during the Civil War. It's been said that in 1862, female residents of Savannah, Georgia, decorated the graves of Confederate soldiers killed in action. In 1968, 100 years after the start of Decoration Day, Congress issued the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, which amended that the following national holidays would be celebrated on a Monday: Washington's Birthday, the third Monday of February, Memorial Day, the last Monday of May, Labor Day, the first Monday of September, Columbus Day, which falls on the second Monday of October, and Veterans Day, the second Monday of November. The bill officially took effect at the outset of 1971. 30 years later, the National Moment of Remembrance Act was signed into law. The act requires everyone to take time and remember our veterans starting at 3 p.m. The difference between Memorial Day in May and Veterans Day in November is that the former celebrates every armed service member who died while fighting, while the latter honors the service of all veterans living and dead. As this Memorial Day approaches, each one of us should take time and remember all the men and women who gave their lives for our country. For more amazing trivia, check out the Trivia Tracks podcast at thewatchatapodcast.com. Till next time, I'm Price Robertson. Amazed by today's trivia? Then join me every Monday through Friday morning for Trivia Tracks on Fox Sports Camden 97.1.